Thank you very much. Thank you. And hello, everyone. I'm Rob Bailey from BibleBase.com. And that was Mike Coles from NewLifeRadio.co.uk in Exeter. I first began to work with Mike on a campsite, a camping site for a conference in Devon. And then the radio studio was a container from off a ship. And inside there were billowing curtains. It looked like a Bedouin tent and masses of equipment. And we sometimes had to wade through the sodden fields in our Wellingtons to do our morning shifts. And that was the song that I always started off my 6 o'clock morning shift with. So it brings back some very interesting memories from all those years ago. You've joined Broken Bread, and we're in the middle of these studies that I'm resolutely calling To the Churches of Galatia. Because this is the letter that Paul wrote, not to one church, not to an individual, but to several churches in the Roman province of Galatia. When they were going through a crisis, they were being tempted to defect and go back to another system entirely, which wasn't an alternative gospel. It wasn't a gospel at all. It was a perversion, Paul said. And he had some very strong things to say about it. But he said them all, I believe, with a heart breaking for these people who he had already poured out his life for in so many ways. So this is study 13. I'm sure this is study 13. I'm sorry for any confusion I caused you with the last session. This is definitely study 13. And I'm not quite sure what to call it. I think I might call it salvation by grace through faith, or I might call it the faith of Abraham. I'll see how we get on. In our reading of Galatians, we've come just into the early part of Galatians chapter 3. And when Paul, he's been really bringing forth his witnesses to substantiate his position that salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing, and that you add anything else to it, you undermine the gospel itself and you end up with something that isn't the gospel. And he's, first of all, he spoke about his own experience in God and the way that God met him. Then he went on to tell about an encounter with Peter in which it was made very clear that salvation was by grace through faith and not at all by law works. And then he came on to his third witness were the people in Galatia himself. And he reminds me, he said, when you believed, and the one who is working, supplying his spirit amongst you now, was that as a result of you keeping the law works, or was it because of the hearing of faith? And now we come on to another one. And the fourth witness that Paul calls to his stand, in my imagination anyway, is Abraham. And this is our central text for tonight then. It's Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. This is a key verse. Maybe you know it comes from Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. It's part of the story of Abraham and God's dealings with Abraham. And Abraham had been promised a family. He'd been promised nations that would come from him. But he had no son from his wife, Sarah. And at this time, there's a conversation going on between God and Abraham. And God brings Abraham out into the starry night. And he says, look at the stars. If you can count them, that's the number of your children that will come from you. And then you have this astonishing statement. It says, and Abraham believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. This is an amazing statement, and it becomes a real center. It's almost, if you want to know about faith, and you want to know about this question of faith, and how it interacts with what God's gracious gift is, this is where you come to in chapter 4 of Romans. I've come to now. You say, well, I thought you said we were going to stay away from Romans. Yes, we are. Mostly. But at this time, we can't. Because if you see this statement in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6, just as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Did you notice that little phrase at the beginning? Just as. In other words, the way in which Abraham believed God and God responded to that faith is the way it has to be with us. We are to be just as Abraham in this sense. So we're talking about Abraham-type faith, Abrahamic faith, the faith that Abraham had. Abraham is known as the father of the believers. And the reason for that is that he's in very many ways an archetype of what it means to put all your eggs in one basket, to trust God absolutely for your salvation with no other contributing factors at all. So, what's all this about? Just as Abraham. So, it's necessary for us then to have Abraham's kind of faith. Now, if you're like me, your immediate question would be, well, what was Abraham's faith like? Good question. And it's the question that Paul asks in Romans chapter 4. He says this, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? In other words, what was Abraham's experience? Well, that's just exactly the question. Inevitably, we're going to ask from Galatians chapter 3. If the writer is saying, you need to have the kind of faith that Abraham have, our immediate question is, what was Abraham's experience? And 20 years later, Paul writes this, and he says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father has found? What was Abraham's discovery? What was his experience? What happened to Abraham? Because Abraham's experience, in a measure, has to be the pattern for ours. Oh, the details will be different, but the pattern has to be the same. We have to have Abrahamic faith if we're going to know the salvation that God promised to Abraham's progeny. So there are different kinds of faith, you see. It's not sufficient just to say, oh, well, I've got faith. I've got faith at this apple. I've got faith. You hear people say this. You hear Christian people say this. Oh, I've got faith that God will do this. Actually, they don't mean they've got faith. They mean they've got hope. Faith only comes by hearing. Faith can only operate on something that God has revealed to us. We'll come on to that in a little bit. But there are different kinds of faith. In both of Paul's letters to Timothy, he refers to faith, but he says this. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 5, he says, now the purpose of the commandment, or the charge that he's giving to Timothy, is love from a pure heart and from a good conscience and from sincere faith. Now, if you put the adjective in front of faith, sincere faith, it can only mean that there must be faith which is not sincere, faith which is not the genuine article. In other words, fake faith. When he writes 2 Timothy, Paul says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith, same word, sincere faith, that was in you, which would dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in you only. So he speaks about sincere faith, genuine faith, the authentic faith. Well, if we're going to have authentic faith, there's no need to say that unless there is a distinct possibility of having counterfeit faith, fake faith. Okay, we better look at Abraham, because apparently he had the genuine article. When God wants to talk about faith, he says, look at Abraham. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, has found? What was his experience? Important, because it's just as Abraham believed that we have to believe if God is going to account to him righteousness. Are you still with me? Let's have a look at Abraham as the archetype believer. This is what it says. I'm going back to Romans chapter 4, 3. But I'm going to go back to that verse in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. Because there's a word there that doesn't appear in the references in the New Testament. This verse is quoted three times in the New Testament, but it's always kind of stands on its own feet. But in fact, there's more to it than this. Because this verse in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6 doesn't begin with "he believed in the Lord." It begins with the word "and." Now, "and" is a very important word because it conjoins, it is a conjunction. It joins what we're saying now to what has gone before. So, well, what has gone before? Well, it goes on then to say, "and he believed in the Lord," but obviously his believing in the Lord was a subsequent event. Something happened before he believed. Something happened that made it possible for him to believe. And when he believed in the Lord then accounted it to him for righteousness. So what was it that God said that Abraham, that triggered the possibility of faith in Abraham? Here it is from the verse previous to it. "Then God brought him outside and said, 'Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.'" You see, faith cannot begin with Abraham. Faith has to begin with some word that God speaks to Abraham. Faith, you see, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There are some foolish Bible teachers who suggest that faith is an inherent capacity in human beings, and we all have faith, and therefore all you have to do is just focus it, and if you envision it and put your mind on it, you can be anything, you can do anything. That's fake faith. That is not the genuine article, although it is propagated throughout the Christian world, sadly to say. "And God said," faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So God said something to Abraham. God encountered Abraham. God engaged with Abraham. In this matter of salvation, God must always take the initiative. You don't just come when you want to. You don't just make some decision that now would be a good day to make some changes. You can only do it when God speaks to you. Now, I'm not being mystical in this. I'm not saying you have to hear God's voice in your ear or have a vision. I'm just saying that as a result of some encounter with God, whether it's through the scripture or through a preacher or maybe just a meditation, you're thinking and something becomes crystal clear to you and somehow you know it's got your name on it. That's God speaking to you. And when God speaks to you like that, you can believe. You can't believe anything you want to believe. You can't just choose something. Let me give you an illustration. You know this famous saying that Jesus said when he had put a curse on the tree and his disciples were amazed that the thing had died so quickly from the root. And he made that amazement even more so by saying, if you have faith, not only to this tree, but to a mountain, you'll be able to say, move out of this place and be cast into the sea, and it will be so. And there are some people who say, well, that's what faith is. You have faith instinctively, inherently, so you can just use it anytime you like. I don't know how many people have tried to cast mountains in the sea over the 2,000 years of the Christian testimony, but I suspect it's been a lot. But faith comes by hearing. You can only say that to a mountain if God has said to you, say this to a mountain. If God has put that word in your heart and it's a genuine word, you can now have genuine faith. And now you can do impossible things. You can stretch forth a withered hand. You can walk on water. You can do amazing things that were impossible to you until God spoke the word. But you cannot do them just because you think it's a good idea or because you think it would stir things up a bit if you did them. So let's be wise about these things. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is a quotation from Ephesians, a very important one. for by grace you have been saved. Now, we all believe that, don't we? We all believe that salvation comes by grace and that grace is the gift of God. We believe that. We must believe that, surely. We know we can't earn it. We know we can't achieve it step by step. It has to be a gift. For by grace you have been saved. And then notice this little phrase. I'm in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. By grace you have been saved through faith. Now, this is a really important thing that some schools of Christian thought, I think, have got the wrong angle to here. I want to tell you, and it will shock you maybe when I begin to say it, that you are not saved by grace. Oh, you see, heresy. Well, wait a minute. For by grace you have been saved through faith. You're not saved by grace alone, sorry to the reformers. You're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. When he says that not of yourselves, he isn't referring to faith. He's not even referring to grace. He's referring to salvation as a whole. Salvation as a whole is the gift of God. Amen. That's what it is. But it needs a channel. That little word through, by grace you have been saved through faith, is the Greek word dia, which means through. You go through of that way. That's the way you do it. Grace, you see, needs a channel. There's a wonderful psalm which says, that is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. You know that? I know a chorus to that verse. It's a good verse. The word streams there is the Hebrew word for channel. Something cut into the earth in order to channel the water in a certain direction. There is a river, hallelujah, and it flows full and free all the time. But there's a need for channels. There's a need for that river to be directed specifically to the area of the need. These streams are channels. Faith is a channel. It's just a channel. It adds nothing to the achieving of salvation. It's not grace plus anything in that sense. It's the channel through which the grace must flow. Listen to this, Paul writing to the Romans, chapter 5 and verse 1. He's following on from chapter 4. He then begins to apply the significance of what he said. And he says this, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also, now listen to this, we have access by faith into this grace. Now, please, when we finish this session tonight, have a look at this verse and look at the route that grace takes. We have access by faith into grace. This grace in which we stand, this grace of the new covenant and all its powers, we have access into that by faith. So you have to start off with God speaking. The river has to flow. There has to be something that he says. But then there has to be the channel through which that flows to you and it touches your barren parts, and it brings life to places that are only known death. We have access by faith. You say, I thought it was by grace. Yes, of course it's grace. It's grace that enables us to have faith to get into grace. Do you understand that? That's what the Wesleys would have called prevenient grace. The grace that makes it possible to believe so that we receive grace. What did Abraham believe in then? Well, it's interesting. It doesn't say that Abraham believed the promise that God had given to him, although it was a promise. It says he believed in the Lord, as it comes through in the New Testament. Abraham believed God. He put his faith not so much in the things that had been spoken to him, but he put his faith in the one who had spoken the words to him. His confidence was in God. You know, we often put our confidence in the wrong places. We put it in the channels. I'm a terrible person to live with because I can be pedantic at times. I often say this. I'm not pedantic all the time. Sometimes I'm very pedantic. And I remember some years ago, Margaret and I were talking about something, and there was a particular need that we became aware of. And Margaret said, well, we can pray. I believe in prayer. And I said, oh, I don't believe in prayer. And she said, what do you mean? She's used to me, you see. I said, I believe in God. Prayer is the channel through which I access God. I don't put my faith in prayer. I don't believe my prayer can achieve anything. I believe it can be the channel through which God can achieve what he wants to do. I believe the Lord has need of me and my channel. That doesn't puff me up. You know what I was quoting from when he says the Lord have need of him? He needed a donkey once. And he said, if someone tries to stop you taking him, just says the Lord has need of him. The Lord, the sovereign Lord of the universe, has need of a donkey? Yes, yes. When he's purposed to do things in a certain way, he needs the channels. Faith is a channel. So Abraham put his faith in the Lord. He put all his eggs in one basket. The Hebrew word for believe, in fact, is amen. You might say, Abraham, amen, God. God said this thing to him, and Abraham said, amen. Amen. I guess there was some fervency in it. I don't think it wouldn't have been a sigh. I think it would have been an eager acclamation of agreement with the thing that God had said to him. So he put his faith in God. Now remember that we're going through this because in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6, it says that just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and then he's going to go on to say that's the way we must come too. So we've said that we must have heard God speaking to us. We must have become God conscious in some way. Then we must put our faith in him. We must put all our eggs in one basket. This is, you can't have any contingencies. There can't be any possible plan Bs. It has to be all or nothing. It's sink or swim. He put all his faith in God, did Abraham. And then it says, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Now, I want you to notice some job definitions here. Years ago, I used to live in Birmingham, very close to the works where they made the small mini cars and lots of other cars. And in the 1970s, they had lots and lots of strikes. And I can remember a friend of mine inviting me to go down to London with my family. And we spent some time with us, and he took us to see the Changing of the Guard, which is a wonderful pageant outside Buckingham Palace. And I said, well, in return, you must come to us at Birmingham, and I'll take you to see the Changing of the Pickets at Longbridge. Most of those rows that they had in the car industry were to do with job definitions. Someone had seen the man who should be sweeping up with a screwdriver, and they said that's not his job. Or the other way around. Or they saw someone doing something that they thought was somebody else's job, and the whole thing just kind of ground to a halt. And it was nonsense, and very destructive nonsense. But when we come to this, it's very important that we see the construction of this. I want you to listen to this. Listen. We've started off with the and. So now it says this. Abraham believed God. Who did that? Whose action is that belief, that faith? Belief and faith are really the same word in the Greek language. One is a noun and one is a verb, but it's the same word. We have two separate words, so you can't see the connection, faith and believe. But actually, in the Greek, it's the same word, but from the same family, anyway. Abraham believed God. Yes, Abraham believed. God didn't believe for Abraham, and neither did anybody else believe for Abraham. Abraham had to believe for Abraham, and nobody can believe for you. God can't believe for you, not in this aspect. Abraham put his faith in God. He leaned hard upon the person who had spoken to him. He put all his trust in God. So there's the first thing. The first thing is, this is kind of like a to-do list. Who is accountable for doing this? Abraham is accountable for believing. Abraham must believe. Okay, he's the next thing. He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Who reckoned it to Abraham's account for righteousness? Who did that? Did Abraham do that? No. Did a judge do that? No. Did the rabbi do that? No. Did the preacher do that? No. Who did that? God did that. So he's the balance. Abraham believes. God declares him to be right with him. It put all his faith in the one who had spoken. Genuine faith is always in the faith in a person. And God accounted it to him for righteousness. Now, we must stop, but I need to ask the question, do you have the faith of Abraham? That's how it's described in chapter 4 of Romans and verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. Did you see that? That connection between faith and grace. God insists that it be by faith because it has to have its origin in grace. And anything else would be a do-it-yourself salvation. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be made sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. So here's my question, brothers and sisters. Do you have the faith of Abraham? You say, well, my faith, no, but your faith is to be just as Abraham's faith was. Abraham is the archetype of a believer. He's put in the scriptures here so that we can see what God means by believing. He means responding to a word that you've heard from him. He means putting all your eggs in one basket. He means leaning hard upon the person who has made this promise to you. It means you have no contingency plans. And then God declares you to be right with him. It's wonderful. And there's no substitute for it. This is authentic faith. This is not fake faith. This is the genuine article. Consider yourselves, brothers and sisters, whether you be in the faith. Take a moment or two and consider. Do I have this kind of faith? The faith of Abraham. God willing, this time, this place, next week, I'll see you again. God bless you.